You've got to hand it to St. Peter. Every chance he had, it seems that he argues with Jesus. In their very first recorded encounter, when Jesus comes upon Simon, son of John, who is Peter, his brother Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he wants to get into their boat and set out a distance from the shore so he can preach to the people there on the shore, Peter wasn't too interested in that. They'd been out fishing all night. He just wanted to go home and go to bed. But he let Jesus into his boat. And after that very long preaching, Jesus then wanted them to go into deeper water to lower their nets. And Peter again had to argue with Jesus. We've been out there all night and we've caught nothing. But Peter does it anyway. He takes Jesus into the deep water. Of course, as you recall, they catch so many fish, their nets are tearing. That's Peter's first argument with Jesus. It's going to happen again when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter tells him, "You are the Christ," which means Peter thinks he's the Son of God. But then Jesus tells him he's going to die for him. Peter can't have that. "God forbid, Lord. That will never happen to you." That's his second argument with Jesus. He just admitted that Jesus is God, but he thinks he knows God's will better than Jesus does. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then we see, of course, this situation here where Jesus is intent on beginning the preparation meal for the Passover by washing Peter's feet and Judas' feet and Andrew's feet and John's feet and all the others. And Peter says, "You're not washing my feet." He thinks that's a sign of showing respect with Jesus, but he continues to argue with Jesus about whether Jesus is doing the will of God. And of course, it all boils down to something that would happen later at the Last Supper when Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And Peter said, "I will never do that." And we know how that story ends. But what's interesting through it all is Jesus knew all of those faults and failings of Peter before he chose him to become a fisher of men instead of a fisherman. He knew how Peter was going to fall. He knew how Peter was going to fail. He knew when and why Peter was going to argue with him. But he didn't go and choose someone else for the task he'd given to Peter. He simply loved him enough to forgive him no matter how many times Peter wanted to tussle with him and continued to allow him to possess the keys of the kingdom, to be our first pope. And Peter would outdo himself. In the end, he'd get it right when he would die a martyr for the faith. How many times have we argued with God about God's will? How many times have we doubted God's plan for us? But just as Jesus continued to love Peter despite his protests, God continues to love us, even when our prayers might be prayers of doubt, prayers of disbelief, prayers of argument, or times when we'd rather tell God what he should do for us than ask God in our prayer what we can do for him or for other people. This night, this beginning of the sacred triduum, is a reminder to us and Christians everywhere that God has listened to all those prayers, and he loves everyone who prayed them. And even though he knows when we've fallen and when we're going to fall next, he wants to wash our feet too. And he wants to wash a lot more than that. He will pour out his life on the cross that we could be washed clean of sin and given the promise of new and eternal life. And we, like Peter and the others, may feel unworthy to have the Lord do such a thing for us. And perhaps we are. But if we're made in the image and likeness of God, then God thinks we are worth it. He thinks we are, each and every one of us, worth the death of his Son on the cross. That's because God has a love for us that is immense and a love for us that is intense. And that's how he wants us to love him back. And that's how he wants us to love each other. Because we really can't pay him back for the great gift he gives us. And we don't so much deserve it or earn it. All he asks is that we pay it forward. And that's the point that Jesus was trying to make with the apostles. What I've done for you, I've done as an example. Go and do likewise. As I feed you, feed someone else. As I wash you, wash someone else. And that's been Jesus' great command of service in the church for these three Christian millennia. And all of us are deputized to be foot soldiers in an army of compassion, to go out to this world that no longer believes that there is a God, or if there is a God, he's not a good God because bad things are still happening to good people, and to be the light for their darkness, and to pay forward the great and many gifts that God has given to us. And so we went up with Jesus to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We're here with him in the upper room this night for the institution of the priesthood and the first Eucharist. Shortly, we'll go with him to Gethsemane as he sweats tears of blood for love of sinners like me and you. Hopefully, we'll come back here tomorrow to venerate the cross on which he will make that ultimate sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our souls, and to break the chains of sin, Satan, and death forever and for everyone. But then we'll come back here again, Easter Saturday night. This Saturday night when the stone is rolled away and a light shines in the darkness, when we needed it the most and deserved it the least, God sharing the great promise of new life with his people. And that's why during these days of Triduum, all Christians are called to come together in the house of God. And we're especially happy to have with us the elect and the candidates who are preparing for so long to receive the Easter sacraments. In fact, they and their sponsors are the ones who are going to have their feet washed here tonight. For those that are to be baptized on Saturday night, it'll be a small sample. We'll start with their foot. We'll get to the rest later. For the rest of them, it's simply a chance to be one with us. One step closer, a giant leap closer to the altar where they will join us in the Eucharist this coming Saturday night. And so, during the Passion, as you recall from Palm Sunday, everybody that Jesus cared about, for the most part, left him. Nobody was there. A stranger had to help him carry that cross. Others were pretending, I don't know that man, but we know him and he knows us. We love him and he loves us. So even though others are beginning to betray him and deny him and abandon him, and we've done that in the past by our sins, tonight, tomorrow, and the next day, and every day, let us stay at his side. So that lonesome road to Calvary will be a little less lonesome, knowing that he walked it for us because he loves us. Now, last year I was having the Mass of the Lord's Supper at Fatima, and I understand that here at Queens there were 13 people that came up to get their feet washed. There are only 12 chairs. I'm seeking to avoid that, so I'm going to call them by name, and please come up to get your foot washed only if I call your name. Rhonda Edwards, Ralph Edwards, Bjarnan Jensen, Helena Jensen, Aaron Hetherington, and one of two sons. You get a 50-50 chance there. Clifford Schmidt, Peg Probstall, Whitney Pelton, Jessica Tomelko, Brooklyn Tomelko, and Tammy French. Hopefully I end up with 12. Lord have mercy. Perfect. All right. Just a moment. You all can remove one shoe and one sock.